Our scripture reading today is from the book of Mark. As we find Jesus beginning his mission into this world, Mark doesn't go back to his birth, but he goes back to the point of Jesus coming forth and being baptized and going into the desert and meeting his own difficulties, his own challenges, coming forth with a mission. And just to kind of remind us a little bit here, in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus was proclaiming, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the message he is preaching. This is the message he is teaching. Repent. It doesn't mean just to say you're sorry and to move along, but it actually means to change your life, to turn around, to see what's behind us, what we've been ignoring all of our existence, which is Almighty God, to turn and to grab a hold of the kingdom of God that's being offered to each and every one of us within our heart, our soul, who we are truly meant to be part of. And it's not a message that's always easily received. And even as Jesus goes into his own hometown, here in the Gospel of Mark, starting with chapter 6, 1 through 13, he left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? Where is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own houses. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about and among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, 'Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them.' So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus comes into Nazareth and he's bringing the good news that he's brought to everyone else. He comes into Nazareth, a place where he is very well known. He comes into Nazareth, his hometown. People who know, they know his mom, they know his dad, they know his brothers and his sisters. They know that he was a carpenter, and we like to assume he was a very good carpenter. Maybe they've got a table that he has built for them. He comes to them, one of their own. They know him. But he comes to them now with a wisdom of God that is beyond the teachings of the rabbis and the teachings of the priests. It is a wisdom and a teaching that really calls them out where they're at. It is a teaching that comes and calls about, talks about repentance, about changing life, changing their lives, and about changing the lives of the people around him. It is a ministry that he's doing that's bringing life to people who are down and out, and he's healing people within the crowds. The message that he's bringing and the power that he's bringing is astonishing. Yet he's just little old Jesus. We saw him when he grew up. We can get familiar, can't we? We can get maybe too familiar with people, with each other. We don't appreciate what each other's doing. We don't, they've been doing this great mission for so long, and we just kind of take it for granted, and well, they do it, they're supposed to do it. And We began to get over familiar with each other and with the work that God's doing through us. We get over familiar, unfortunately, with God, with Jesus Christ. As Americans, we live in a very affluent society, even though there is a tremendous amount of poverty, even in our own backyards. And I love the way this church responds to do what we can to ease the pain of the people around us. But we are an affluent people. Even those who think they don't quite have very much are incredibly wealthy. Look where we're. Look what Vaughn was talking about. She couldn't even call their homes houses. There is such a difference. We are a very fortunate people. But sometimes good fortune takes our mind off of God. Sometimes good things takes away our need for God, and we forget to get on our knees. We forget to look to the Lord and to look to the goodness that is being poured out to us. We forget really the author of life. And also we've heard His name. I mean, even any atheist that has lived in this nation, has been born in this nation, when they say they reject God, most of the time they're rejecting Christ, they're rejecting Christianity, because they know of Him. And agnostics who have come to, well, I'm not sure if I believe or not, well, they've heard of who Jesus is. But maybe even the bigger problem we have is those of us who have been baptized in Christ and who have been filled with the power and the joy have forgotten about the power and the joy of Christ. Those of us who have gone to God in the times that it was so difficult and our hearts were breaking, our mind was breaking, or maybe our finances were breaking, or our body was breaking, but now we're better. Maybe we're just a little too familiar with Christ, or at least the name. I think a lot of the problem really belongs with the universal church, American church. We've often preached that all you need to do is you need to come, you need to confess, say some right words, we will baptize you, and then you get to go to heaven when it's all over. Is that really what Jesus was preaching and teaching and talking and walking about? I am so very grateful for heaven and life after this life. It is what truly gives me peace. But it is also what is truly supposed to allow us to have the strength to face and confront evil when we see it, when we hear about it, to stand up for the goodness that Christ would stand up for and did stand up for. Though we're inoculated by what Bonhoeffer, the German theologian in the 1940s, he stood up against the Nazis. He was run out of the nation, run out of the country. He went to New York City and he got a great job. He had a brilliant mind. He wrote some incredible books. If you get a chance, read some. And he worshipped the Americans and he got to looking at us. And he thought, your cushions are too soft. Your grace is too cheap. Because grace is not cheap. It cost Christ everything. Christ is coming into Nazareth, and he wants to bring them the same goodness that other people have felt. And he's coming into our churches, and he wants to bring us that renewed life. He wants us to repent. He's not looking for an apology. You know, we've overused some words. We've overused sin. We've overused repentance. But they're important to us. Repent, change our lives, turn around, see God, live a new life. Christ is coming and He's healing people, but what He really wants to do is heal the entire human being, every bit of us. Because there is more to us than our bodies and even our mind. There's that wonderful soul that brings the body, mind, and spirit all together, and oftentimes our spirit is sick. And Christ has come to bring healing. Even when life turns against us, when there's no medicines to help us, when there's no comfort that can be had, we can find it in God and in Christ. He has come to make us whole. But we have to remember who we are. We have been called to connect, and I like in our bulletin to connect and to deepen and to serve, and Jesus is reaching out to connect with the people in the first century, and he's trying to connect with us here in the 21st century. But maybe we know him too well. We know what he's going to say. We know what he's going to do. We know what he's supposed to say. We know what he's supposed to do. But are we listening to him tell us what we're supposed to say and what we're supposed to do to come closer? To connect is more than a creed. The creeds are beautiful. They're powerful. They teach us. To connect is a relationship. How many people can you get to know if you never speak to them, never write to them, never see them, never have any communication? You can't have a relationship by yourself. And you walk up to a stranger as if you've known him all your life. But yet we turn and we treat God, Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe, all that ever was and ever is, all that we owe to. We treat Almighty God He'll be there. Now we've got to connect and reconnect. If we don't, we will disconnect. We will find that we can live our lives without God in it. We can live our lives without wondering about Christ. We can live our lives by shutting down the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us of right and wrong and where we need to go and what we need to do. We can easily live our lives this way. So many people do. Is that what you want? Do you want to live estranged from God? Or do you want the power of the Spirit of the living God inside? Not just meekly, not just mildly, but with passion. The kind that drives you forth and drives you into the desert, drives you into the wilderness, drives you into the towns and the cities to really follow Christ, be Christ-like. We tell everybody, oh, it's the way, Jesus is the way and the means and the life to the Father, and then we go about and we do whatever we're supposed to do. Well, is Jesus really your way of life? Is he really the truth that pumps my heart and moves my soul and that brings me close and that I can completely depend upon? Is he life itself? We know we need to connect and we need to always reconnect. We know we need to deepen, and we come here and we deepen, hopefully. We've got to open ourselves up. We've got to let things go. And we have to expect that God is going to do something different in our life. We will be changed. I would lift up many of you way above myself in your religious closeness to God, but I would also turn around and say, you're not there yet. None of us are. And that's good news. Because it's always going to get better between us and God. If we will allow, if we will deepen. And what does Jesus do in this? He's basically run out of Nazareth. He's got to have a broken heart. These are his friends, the people, you know, the people he's grew up around, the people who love him and he loved them, and now apparently they don't. And they've essentially thumbed their nose at really his very essence of who he is. And so it's got to hurt. But then what does he do? He grabs a hold of his closest disciples, most dependable people, as he wants to grab a hold of us. And he says, I want you to go out and I want you to tell people about the new life. That's the repentance, the new life that they can have in Christ. Tell them about that this is good news. Tell them about the love of God that we have for them. Go out and tell them. It is a faith that is literally in motion. The faith that we have, it's grace. Jesus coming to us is grace. The power of the atonement, Jesus giving of his life for us, is grace. The power of the Spirit within your heart, it is grace. And it never sits still. It's always calling us The kingdom of God is inside each and every one of you, according to John Wesley. Let it grow, let it bubble, and let it pour forth into this world. That is when we truly serve. When we serve because we've just got to. Because God has a need in His kingdom. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we have a way of deepening. In Holy Communion, it is a gift from Jesus Christ Himself. It is a gift of grace. In the United Methodist Church, we have studied and we believe that there is in the mystery of God, that there is a particular grace that God works through the receiving of communion. And however it is that God works, there is grace in the simple bread and juice. So let us come forth and celebrate this grace. If you will turn in your hymnals to page 12 for the liturgy. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who can earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Page 13, the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on that night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took the bread and He lifted it up and He gave thanks to God the Father. He broke the bread and He gave it to His disciples as He gives it to us today. And He said, "Take and eat. This is My body which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to You, Father Almighty, and He gave it to His disciples as He gives it to us this day. And He said, "Take, drink. For this is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so, in remembrance of these Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The table has been prepared. We invite each and everyone seeking Christ, loves Christ, please come and feast at His table. And as Steve announces the closing hymn, if there are any who wish to come and to join this congregation of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come forward at this time. If you wish to spend time with the Chancellorel in additional prayer.
Stand with us as we sing number 351. 351 in your hymnal. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let us go forth with this benediction. The Spirit within you is none less than the Spirit of the Holy God, the living God, Creator, Redeemer. He has loved you, He has touched you, He has redeemed you. He is calling. Go forth for the sacred is calling you. Amen.